Good morning. It's 8:04 with WAMC Regional News. I'm David Gustinum. On the line with us, as she has from time to time through the COVID pandemic, is the Lieutenant Governor of New York, Kathy Hochul. Good morning, Lieutenant Governor.
Good morning, and thank you for having me back on the show.
Glad to have you here. We're going to talk about a few things, but let's start with this issue of child care. We know from some reports of our Capitol correspondent, Karen DeWitt, that there are some even business leaders calling it an emergency situation, short term and long term. I know you've been out and highlighting some funding that's out there, not only for child care, but for other programs amid the crisis.
Well, this is something I've spoken to a number of times with Karen over the years as chair of the state's task force dealing with the lack of affordability and accessibility of child care for families. And we had a problem even before the pandemic. But when you think about the fact that women have been so disproportionately impacted in terms of who are the essential workers, think about the fact that when this pandemic first hit, it was primarily women who had to continue showing up in their jobs as grocery store clerks and cashiers and working in the restaurants to make food for takeout, working in the pharmacies. Two-thirds of minimum wage workers in this country are women. They could not have the luxury of staying home. They had to suit up and go into a battle not knowing the consequences or any jeopardy or possibly jeopardizing the health of their own families. Plus the fact that 77% of healthcare workers are women, how much we needed them to continue serving people, and we are losing lives every day in hospitals across the state. So the question becomes, who's watching the children of these essential workers that we all came to appreciate now more than ever? And they've been struggling even before this, but now the fact that child care centers had to close, many of them, others could not have the same capacity they had in the past. They had a fewer number of children and bringing in less revenue, so many of them couldn't keep the doors open. So we have addressed this problem intensely. I've been going around the state making announcements about various child care funding sources. First of all, to help the first responders and the essential workers be able to get temporary assistance for their children and even help them with rental assistance and other programs, knowing that we need them. We can't afford to have them stay home. So we have $48 million in awards for over 3,600 child care providers. We announced that earlier this month. And plus $88 million to support child care services for these essential workers. It's not going to solve the problem. It requires the assistance of the private sector. Government will not solve this alone. But I'm starting to see more enlightenment as I speak to business owners, small and large, heads of major corporations. When I ask them, traveling the state, what is your biggest barrier to coming back after this pandemic and getting, you know, recharged again and firing on all cylinders? And they tell me it's now child care. So that is, it took a long time to get to this point of enlightenment that it's not just a family's problem, but it's also a problem for the economy if we can't get women back in the workforce.
Then we have the issue of what are we going to use that workforce to do, perhaps in a new economy that centers itself around climate change and the environment. And I know you've announced some funding for an initiative to train over 1,000 workers in green technologies.
Yes, and we just came off of Climate Week. I made some announcements throughout the state to talk about our continued investment, not just in green buildings, but in green jobs. And we're trying to make success more accessible by making this available to people who otherwise would not have considered a job in these areas. And think about the fact that there will be many jobs that just don't come back as a result of the pandemic, as employers try to find ways to, you know, reduce their costs, increase their profitability so they can function again. Unfortunately, many workers will not have jobs to go back to. We're seeing that in many industries. So here's an opportunity to take that human capital, get the training they need, and to invest in programs like BOCES programs. I know we've got very strong BOCES programs in the Capital Region. I've visited many of them. Albany Can Code, an important program to teach technology. But also, as you mentioned, the green jobs, because we're not taking our foot off the pedal in terms of investing in green jobs, because we think that's the future for the state of New York to get us to a carbon neutral state in a number of years and to reduce our reliance on fossil fuels. We've been announcing a number of initiatives, continuing our support for electric vehicles and increasing the number of charging stations. We did this announcement a couple days ago, having fast charging stations where you could literally charge an electric vehicle in 20 minutes. And there's a lot of jobs behind those technologies that if we can transition people from a career that may not be sustainable in the new economy to one that will be sustainable, then we're making progress in getting people jobs that will be there into the future.
Obviously, right now, the primary concern is COVID-19, and I know you've been handling that for upstate New York. How are we doing? The schools are back. Some colleges have seen some outbreaks. There's been some clusters downstate, especially among some of the Orthodox Jewish communities. New York has really flattened the curve, but we are in danger of having it rise again, and of course, there's a second wave possibility.
Well, you're absolutely right that that is a danger that we have forecasted since the summertime when we realized that this virus was not going away. It was not weather related. It was nothing we could do to keep it at bay. And knowing that we are very vulnerable in the fall, as you mentioned, kids are going back to school. Colleges are reopening. You know, more people will be going indoors where you've been able to have outdoor dining. Now you're going to be more likely to have people indoors and gathering indoors. What our biggest, what we're battling in addition to battling a pandemic is battling complacency, where people say, you know what, we've got a 0.5 infection rate in the capital region. We must be okay. You know, we're all set here. I have to tell you, I monitor those numbers daily, as does the governor. He probably monitors it by the minute. And we are seeing that areas that thought they were doing just fine, it doesn't take much for there to be a spike, whether it's a college campus, whether it's a nursing home. And what we're most fearful of is community spread. We can contain these smaller outbreaks that are occurring. As you mentioned, some downstate, we know the exact zip codes where it's occurring. We've deployed over 200 rapid testing machines into those communities to make sure we can identify who's positive and isolate them, quarantine them, and then do the contact tracing. So we now know how to handle it when there is an outbreak, but we don't want to get back to a time when the numbers are just across the whole community. We want to contain these spikes. So we're doing well, but it all comes down to, will people continue adhering to what we've asked them to do since middle of March? Continue wearing your mask. Don't be out with people if you don't have to be. Your safest place is still in your home with your family. And making sure that, you know, you continue the disinfecting protocols and all the things that you're probably just getting a little tired of doing. If we continue that through the winter as we approach a vaccination, which, you know, the governor has said he's going to make sure passes our very high New York State standards, we're not going to trust the CDC or the FDA to tell us whether it's good for our residents, because we have seen the influence of politics and they've had to change some of their positions based on political influence. We're well aware of that. It's documented. So because of that, we're going to make sure that New Yorkers receive the highest quality vaccinations, and it's going to have to go through rigorous tests here in our own state. So we know how to handle this, David. We know what to expect, but it all comes down to, will people keep wearing the mask and being socially distant and being smart through the winter?
Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul of New York, we thank you so much for taking this time with us today.
Well, thank you very much. Have a great day.